We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. In 1956, George Beverly Shea, the vocalist for the Billy Graham Crusades, wrote this song. Here are the lyrics. There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder as sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Do you think very often about God's love for you? Hey, do you even truly believe that God loves you? Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And we want to talk today about the wonder of God's love, not just for a nameless, faceless humanity, but God's love for you and God's love for me. You know, the scripture says in John chapter 15, from the lips of Jesus, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So the love that the Father has for the Son, Jesus said, I have that same love for you. And then he says in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 23, he said, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. So the Son loves us as much as the Father loves him, and the Father loves us as much as he loves the Son. That's a lot of love. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he says in Ephesians chapter 3, he has a great prayer. It is worth memorizing. I'm going to read it, but it is worth memorizing. I memorized this a long time ago. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. God wants us to know a love that is so much greater than our minds can comprehend, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, here's the struggle that I think most of us have as Christians. We believe in the love of God for others. I know for myself as a pastor, I don't have any trouble at all when I talk to someone, when I preach to a congregation, saying with full conviction, God loves you, Jesus loves you so much, he left heaven, he went to the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I believe that. And anybody I talk to, I can sit down with them and say, now listen, you need to know that you know that you know that you know that God really loves you. But when it comes to ourselves, when it comes just on a personal level, not that God loves others, but that God loves me. And that's the George Beverly Shea song, Just to Think That God Loves Me. Here's why we struggle sometimes with that. Because you know you and I know me. We know ourselves. And we know how we are weak. And we know our faults and our frailties. And we know that, we're faithless some of the time. Maybe too much of the time. And we say, well, how could God possibly love me because I'm so unlovable, because I'm so faithless? You know, the scripture says in 2 Timothy, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so one of the things that is critical in the Christian life is to understand and to believe and to receive the truth that God really does love you. I remember hearing a testimony from Guy Dowd. I heard this on Focus on the Family years and years ago. And Guy Dowd was the 1986 National Teacher of the Year and got to go to the White House and have a time with President Reagan. And that kind of launched him into a speaking career. He stopped teaching and he just started encouraging teachers. And Guy was a fat kid. He is his own testimony. He said, I grew up other side of the tracks. My dad was a barroom brawler. We didn't have much money. My mom was fat. My dad was fat. I was fat. He said, people made fun of me in school, and he got teased for being heavy and overweight and slow and all those things. And he said, I wasn't very good at anything. And so he had a severe insecurity problem. Well, he said that, he never would have a date or anything like that. And he said when he got into junior high, they'd have dances. Well, who's going to want to dance with Guy? And so he said he would just take the tickets at the dance and try and kind of laugh his way through. But he couldn't do that. And he really hated himself. And he said he had a teacher that befriended him, Heinrich Kopka. I still remember the name. And he was a former missionary. And he started to witness to Guy. He started to take Guy to things, to a Billy Graham movie, I believe, one night. Anyway, Guy started to realize the truth that Jesus loved him. And I still remember his own words. He said, when I came to the realization that Jesus loved me, fat slob me, then I embraced that love. And I received Christ as Savior and Lord, and my life was changed the moment I received Christ. Hey, it is really critical in the Christian life to have down in written in stone in your heart that God loves you, that Jesus loves you, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to live the Christian life correctly. You're going to constantly live it to try and earn God's love, to try and earn God's favor, rather than living the Christian life because you're accepted in the beloved. That's what the Bible says. We're accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the moment we receive Christ and accept Christ, so to speak, God accepts us because we're in his Son, and his Son is the beloved. It says in 1 John that we love because he first loved us. Our love for God, which is the greatest commandment. Remember when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He didn't go to the Ten Commandments. He didn't say any of those. You know, the Jews had 613 laws that they got from the Old Testament, from the law of Moses, and which one's the greatest. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all the religious leaders would argue back and forth which is the greatest. Well, Jesus, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't go to Exodus 20 that lists the Ten Commandments. You would think, well, the greatest is going to be one that's written on stone. He didn't go to that. He went to Deuteronomy 6. He said, this is the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. to love God. Now, we love because He first loved us. And if we don't understand and accept and believe and receive the truth that God really does love us, He doesn't love our sin, but He loves us, then it's going to be very hard for us to love Him back. As the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? God's unmerited favor toward undeserving sinners. And so when you receive the grace of God, you're like, God, I don't know why you would love me, but I believe that you do, and the cross proves that you do. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we receive that love, then we can love God back. And we're not serving the Lord to try and earn His favor. We're not serving Him for favor. We're serving Him because of His favor, because He's put His favor upon us, His love upon us, His grace upon us. You know, in Deuteronomy, the scripture tells us a very interesting passage of scripture. Let me pull it up here. But it's God's explanation for why He loves His people. And it's surprising what He says. You know, why did God choose Israel? Why did He choose you? Why did He choose me? Why does He choose people? I don't know if I can find it. It's here somewhere. But he said the Lord didn't choose you because you were greater than anybody else. He just set His love on you. Here it is, Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. He's talking to His people Israel. But because the Lord loved you. Why did the Lord love you? Because He loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments, but repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. We talked, Debbie and I, yesterday about Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Not everybody loves God. And we have churches today that want to present a God that's not the God of the Bible because they don't like the idea that God could be judge and that God will judge sin and that the Lord sits on the throne judging the universe, and in Revelation chapter 20, He's going to sit on the great white throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, and judge all those who neglected and rejected Him. And they don't like the idea that, well, you know, we don't want a God that would send anybody to hell. We want just this big mush God who loves everybody, who doesn't have any standards. But that's not God. You know, when the Lord met Moses at the burning bush, and Moses saw the bush, I must turn aside to see this great sight, this bush that burns but is not consumed. And God said to him, I am who I am. Lord, what is your name? I am who I am. God is not who you want Him to be. He is the God who is, and He's revealed Himself to us in Scripture. And God, although the Scripture says in 1 John that God is love, love is not the best one word to describe God. The best one word to describe God, if you can only have one word, is the word holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory, and God is too pure to look upon sin, but yet He loves sinners. Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God loves us so much that He gave His Son to redeem us and to buy us back. That's what the word redeem means, to buy us back out of slavery to sin. We're talking about the wonder of the love of God. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And this is such an important topic, to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, to be unshakable in your understanding, in your belief that God really does love you when you're doing well and when you're doing poorly. His love never fails, and it never changes for you. We're up against a break, but we're coming right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the wonder of the love of God, the wonder of it all, to think that God loves me. God's love is personal. You know, John 3:16 is called the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that is so true, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But sometimes we miss the personal nature of John 3:16, because it just seems so vast. You know, the world, the billions of people in the world, that are in the world right now, but that have lived since Adam and Eve, and God so loved all these billions and billions and billions of people. I get lost in the shuffle. It's good to read John 3:16 and stick your name in there. For God so loved Jeff Shreve that he gave his only begotten Son. I remember I had a secretary. She was actually Pastor Shook's secretary. I was in his office as kind of his associate and as his assistant. And Donna Kennedy was in there. And she said to me, she said, you know, you hear preachers say, if you had been the only person in the world, God would have sent his Son to die for you. She said, you know, that sounds good, but is that just like preacher talk? And I said, well, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. It's personal, and we desperately need to see the love of God as personal. So I was in Houston a few weeks ago visiting my middle daughter, Amy, and her husband, Travis, and my two grandsons, Jack, who's 2, and Chase, who's 6 months. And so Jack is so much fun. Chase is getting to that age where he can start doing things. And my brother-in-law years ago told me, when we were having kids, he said, 0 to 6 months is the vegetable stage. They don't do much. You know, you feed them and clean them, but once they get past 6 months, then they start becoming kind of little people, and you can start doing things with them. And so I really kick in. I did as a dad and as a grandfather, you know, when they get to be over 6 months and really about a year. And so Jack's just at the perfect age, and he's just my buddy, and he's 2. And so I was watching a show with him. He's just now getting to where he can sit still and watch a show. We were watching the old show called Finding Nemo. And I remember watching that with my girls when it came out years ago. And, you know, Finding Nemo is, I don't know who it is, Disney or Pixar or one of those. Anyway, Finding Nemo is the story about the dad that loses his son, Nemo, and gets taken away, picked up in the ocean by a fisherman, and he's traveling everywhere to try and find his son. And I was watching that. I was thinking how, man, that father, he just so loves his son. He's willing to go to the ends of the earth to rescue his son. And I thought, you know, I would do that for my kids. I thought about the movie Taken with Liam Neeson, where he travels all over to find his daughter, and he beats up a zillion guys on the way to rescue his daughter. And he finds her and he rescues her. And she said, "You came for me." And he said, "I told you I would." And it's a beautiful picture of the love that a father has for his child. And so I was watching that Finding Nemo and my mind went to Taken, and then I started thinking about the wonder of it all, to think that God loves me, that the Lord Jesus would leave heaven on a rescue mission, become a man, suffer and bleed and die on a cross. For what purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost, to make it possible for Jeff Shreve to be with him forever in heaven. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. This Sunday I'm finishing a series that we started on Romans chapter 8. I've called this series More Than Conquerors, from verse 37. But Romans 8, beginning in verse 31, it's a series of questions. What then shall we say to these things? The Apostle Paul says, if God is for us, who is against us? And he has all these questions. And then he asks the question, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And he mentions some things. He says who, but then he mentions things, not people. Tribulation, will that do it? Will distress do it? Will persecution do it? Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. He says, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I are secure in the Beloved. We're secure in Jesus, and we're secure in his love, and he's never going to kick us out of the family. Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And you can rest in his love. And you can know that you know that you know that you know that on your best day he loves you, and on your worst day he loves you. When you're doing good spiritually, he loves you. And when you're doing bad spiritually, he loves you. I have three daughters. I love my daughters. Now, they can do things that grieve me, but I never stop loving them. And even if they did something terrible and horrible, I would still love them. My heart would be broken, but I would still love them. And that's the way God is with us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so that catapults us to live the Christian life, because we love because he first loved us. And so as we receive God's love, then we're able to love him back. Then we're able to fulfill the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to fulfill the second greatest commandment, which is the horizontal love, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And, you know, if you do those two things, Jesus said, on those two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you know, we do those two things, and the rest of it is duck soup. The rest of it is a downhill ride, because we have focused on the main thing, loving God and loving people, and letting the love of God that he's poured out in our hearts, Romans 5, he's shed that abroad in our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we have all the love we need for other people. You know, you deal with difficult people. I deal with difficult people. And you say, well, I can't love this person. Okay, well, you can't, but God can. He can do it through you. And he lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And so, as it says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hey, as we started, the lyrics of that great song by George Beverly Shea, written in 1956, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me, just to think that God loves me. I want to encourage you this day, every day, spend time thinking about how much God loves you. And He doesn't love you because you're so lovable. He loves you because He chose to love you. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 7. I didn't set my love on you because you were greater than anybody else. I did it because I chose to do it. And God has chosen to set His love on us, not because we're so great, it's because He's so great. And the cross proves that He loves us, that He sent His Son to die for us, that Jesus loves us, and He said, "Not my will, but thine be done," to the Father when He was faced with the sin of the whole world coming upon Him. He willingly went to the cross because He loves you, because He loves me. I still remember a time, this was years and years ago when I was selling chemicals, and I wasn't doing very well spiritually at the time, and I was driving to College Station to visit some customers. And I was just feeling like, you know, I'm not doing well. My thought life is poor, and surely God doesn't love me anymore. How could God love me? I don't love me. So how could God possibly love me? And I was just the enemy was really beating me up, and he was winning, and I felt so far from God because of just sinfulness and consistent failure. And I was listening to the radio, and a song came on the radio that was just like directly from the Lord to my soul. And it was the wonderful hymn, and these are the lyrics: "If we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." Oh, I needed that at that moment, as I was crying out to the Lord from such a dark and lonely place. I needed to hear from God, "Jeff, I still love you. I know you're battling and you're not doing very well, but I still love you. And you trust me, and I will give you strength, and I'll give you power, and we will overcome in these areas where you're failing. But don't ever question my love, because my love for you is not dependent on you. I didn't set my love on you because you were lovable. I set my love upon you because I chose you from the foundations of the world." And so what a great encouragement. And I just felt this morning as I woke up that there are people out there who need to hear about God's love and need to hear that nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ. And when God wanted to prove His love for you, for me, He didn't do it inside our lives. It wasn't some specific thing He did to get you a promotion or to get you an inheritance or something like that. He did it before you were ever created. He did it on a hill called Calvary. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so anytime you question the love of God for you, specifically, personally, just take a trip back in your mind to a hill called Calvary and see Jesus dying in agony and blood. Why is He there on the cross? He's there for you. While He was on the cross, you were on His mind. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and He doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, and the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. 8840. I'd love to hear from you. And maybe you're struggling with the love of God. Maybe you're wondering, can God really love me? And, you know, Pastor Jeff, what I have this sin in my life or that sin in my life. You know, I love it what in Luke chapter 7, the prostitute who comes to Jesus and weeps at his feet. And Jesus receives her. He lets her touch him, which is not something that a rabbi would do. And you remember the Simon the Pharisee is like, man, if this guy were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that's touching him. Why is he letting her touch him? She's an immoral woman. But Jesus said to her, your sins, which were many, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He loved her and he received her because she came with the tears of repentance. And even though she was what we would call a vile woman morally, she found forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. And I love the phrase, the Lord saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. No matter what you've done, no matter how sinfully you've lived, you can find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ because his love is the ocean with no limits. It has no shores. It has no depth. It is, as the song says, if we would think the ocean filled, we would drain the oceans dry because God's love has no limits for us. To know the length and breadth and height and depth and to know the love of Christ, Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to be taking your calls, and I see that the phone lines are opening up with lots of calls. I know that this is an important subject because this is the key to everything. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you can't do that until you first receive his love. We love because he first loved us. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And so call in and let's talk. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had financial security. And that's where preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Well, preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chances at life. When you support preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a baby. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, B-A-B-Y, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the wonder of his love, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you. And we have John on the line, first-time caller from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, I wanted to call in yesterday. Your study in the book of Romans is going to be great, I'm sure. Did you say you're going to start in your church this Sunday?
Well, no, we've been finishing up this Sunday. We just did chapter 8, so I'm doing 6 sermons in chapter 8. So this Sunday, I'm finishing verses 31 through 39.
Okay, well, I wanted to give you this experience I had in Bible college. I had a professor named Dr. Marvin Mayer years ago. I was at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and I had a class with him called the Book of Romans, and he offered the class, if anyone will memorize the first 8 chapters of the book this semester, you won't have to take any tests, you won't have to write any papers, you'll get an A in the class. I desperately wish I could say I took him up. I did not. I've always since then wished I would have. You would memorize chapter 1 and then memorize chapter 2 and put them together and do that all the way to chapter 8. I worked my tail off just to get a C in that class, all the papers, all the tests. He was a very tough, good but tough instructor. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell you that experience. There were some students who took him up and who memorized the first 8 chapters. Wow. I always wish I would have done that. But I've worked on it some since then.
That's not easy to do, John. I've memorized a good portion of chapter 1, and I have about, I would say, 95% of chapter 8 down. We challenge the church to memorize chapter 8, since Romans 8 is like the Mount Everest of the book of Romans, and Romans is the kind of the crown jewel of Scripture. And so when I started this series, More Than Conquerors, I said, let's memorize Romans 8. You know, it's 39 verses. And I kind of got some stares like, I don't think we can do that. So we reduced it to 31 through 39, which is very doable. But still, I think I'm 61 years old, so it was a lot easier for me to memorize when I was in my 20s. Than it is for me now. So I have to really work harder. As you get older, your brain is not as doesn't have as much stick-em when you're trying to memorize things. But it is such a great practice. So parents and any young people listening, memorize while you're young and get the Word of God deep down in your heart, because it will be with you for life. And John, hats off to those people that took the professor up on that and spent the time to memorize Romans 1 through 8. That is awesome. So how far did you get?
As the semester went on, I talked with some of those students, fellow students of mine, and they were doing it. And I always kick myself, like I say, for not taking up that challenge. They did it. You know, everyone who wow. committed to do that did it, got an A in the class. I since then have memorized chapter 8, and I've gone back, and work on some of the rest of it. I agree with you. Chapter 8 is just the crown jewel of salvation,
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I memorized Romans 6, and then I'm just finishing up on chapter 8, and I struggle with that middle part, verses 21 through 20. Seven, or they give me a little trouble, so I have to really work on that. But it's not easy. It's not easy. But anyway, well, thanks for calling in, John. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you sharing that. God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Gerard on the line, also from Louisiana. Gerard, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve.
Good morning.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank God you just have a father in spirit, and just you and your wife. I listen to you often. And so just God bless you. Thank you for your encouragement and the ministry God has called you to.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yes.
I appreciate you.
One other thing I wanted to
share. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was thinking this morning how people would dress up on the outside and be so concerned about the inside. I mean, outside. But a lot of time, God wants us to dress up our insides. And that's something I see that you do, man of God, and I want to do more.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Appreciate your encouragement. Appreciate you listening and calling in today and just encouraging me. And so God bless you, and may God use you in great ways in your ministry. So thanks for calling. Well, we have Noni on the line from Pennsylvania. Noni, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
They messed up my name.
Oh, they did.
Hi, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Jeff.
This is Naomi.
How is everything?
Good, good. How are you?
That's good. Good, thank you. Yes, I hear that you say that in John chapter 3:16. You know, a lot of people, they love to quote that one. Because they want to feel good, you know, of the law or the love of God. But a lot of people, they don't like to quote verse 17 through 36, especially verse 36. It's amazing because it says, "He that believes on the Son have everlasting life, right. and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abiding him on him." What does that mean? That the love of God is not exactly for everybody in the world. Okay, the love of God is for those that not reject the Lord Jesus Christ and want to accept him as a Lord and Savior. And we read as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, it says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? This show today that you are speaking about is an incredible, is lovely, is very, very good, but for the believer, not for the non-believer. Because mm-hmm. who do not believe in the Lord Christ as Lord and Savior and as a Son of God is not only Antichrist, but is against or the word of the Lord, and is also a curse. So if someone today is listening about this show today, I hope that person don't think it is, you know, for the one that do not love the Lord. But this show that you are preaching today is an incredible, is exactly for those that are more than conquer.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8.
Very good,
it's
Naomi.
For the believer. All the scripture that you quote is for the believer.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So the love of God is available for everyone, but not everyone avails themselves to the love of God. Not everyone, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. So many people choose their sin over God's Son. And when that happens, so the Bible says, Hebrews 10:29, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? That is why at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, books are opened, which is book of deeds, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Everyone at the great white throne is an unbeliever. They didn't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. But the Lord shows them before he cast them into hell, he shows them, here's my book of life, and I had a spot for you because this is the Lord Jesus who is the judge. The Father judges no man, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And the Lord will say, I died for you, and I had a place in my book for you, but you said no. And then the Lord will say to them, to every lost person individually, not my will, but yours be done. You didn't want me. You didn't want my love. You didn't want to receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Well, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Which really makes it even worse, Naomi, when you think about it, that people would spurn God's love and reject God's love. The rich young ruler did the same thing, and the Bible clearly says the Lord looked at him and felt a love for him, but the rich young ruler would rather have his riches, his earthly temporary riches, than the love of Christ and the riches of Christ. And so he didn't do what the Lord said. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you'll find treasure in heaven and eternal life. And he didn't do it. So it's a very, very sad thing. But the truth of the matter is, God does love people. We can honestly say to everybody we meet, God does love you, and the Lord Jesus did die for you. And you can be saved. He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You're such a sweetheart, Naomi. I love talking to you. And so thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in. We have Martha on the line from Kentucky. Martha, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve. I love your program, especially when your wife's on. And listen, I want to know, you've quoted either a song or something in the last segment about the love of God.
Yes.
Could you tell me, is it a song? Is it a poem? Or who? Where would I find it?
It's a song. It's called The Love of God. The lyric from that song, The Love of God, could we think the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade. And so that's what it's called, The Love of God. And the chorus is, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song.
Okay, Pastor Shreve, thank you very much, and thank you for your program. It's so great. I listen to it every day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Martha. Well, we have, Joanna called yesterday. Joanna from Texas, welcome to the program again.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Yeah, I couldn't get in, but I wanted to share some encouragement for people who are being beat up by their past sins that they've repented for. Mm-hmm. I learned from Corrie Ten Boom that when we repent, God forgives our sins and puts them in the sea of forgetfulness and posts a no fishing sign. So when Satan comes to wag them in front of us and taunt us with them and tell us how worthless we are, we need to remember that and tell him that he is there accusing you illegally because he has poached those sins from the sea of forgetfulness. Mm. And don't deal with him anymore, but just turn away and begin to quote every psalm you know, every hymn you know of praise, and just praise him out of the room. And over time, when he learns that you are not going to bite on his bait and become mm-hmm. depressed and self-accusing, he will not come back with to you in that situation anymore. And I'm speaking from experience because mm-hmm. Satan tried to take me out through suicide by constantly doing that for a number of years. And I thank God for the teaching I was getting that gave me the tools to stop that.
Amen. That's a good word, Joanna. Well, I think too on Luke 7, so what Jesus told to the prostitute, your sins, which were many, she had tons of sins, and they were terrible sins. You know, if you're a prostitute, you're doing terrible, horrible things. Your sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I tell people that all the time. The Lord didn't tell her to go in guilt. He didn't tell her to go away in shame. He told her to go away in peace and to just receive his forgiveness. All your sins are forgiven. And, you know, we don't work and serve the Lord in order to earn forgiveness, in order to earn favor. We serve the Lord because we have been forgiven, and we do have his favor upon us, his hand upon us, his grace upon us, and it makes all the difference in the world. I'm so glad that that you have found that, Joanna, and that you called in today to share that, because that is such a blessing and such an encouragement. Many, many people are beat up by the devil with guilt, and we need to just say, yes, I did that. You're right, devil, but Jesus died for that, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses me from that sin, and we just praise the Lord that all of that has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. So God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hi, Brother Jeff. I want to request something to people in the sound of my voice. I use my cell phone to glorify God. What I mean by that, you can take your, I constantly tell people that Jesus loves them. I even told the strangers, but you can take your cell phone and put it in your voicemail and say Jesus loves you no matter who you are. And if you put that in your voicemail, the next person calls you, they can hear you say that to them. But people are going through all kinds of things these days. So it's good to be an encourager to use your cell phone to be a blessing to other people.
Amen. Good word, Frank. That's a good way to close out the program. Well, Lee and Ron, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, But we had a great discussion today talking about the love of God. Hey, you can share this with other people, people who you know in your family and your circle of friends who need to be reminded that the Lord loves them. You can go to AFR.net, Real Truth for Today, and listen to any of the programs that we've done and share those with others. Well, hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. I'll be with you again tomorrow, and God bless you. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.